Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, stream our show at nprnews.org/listen live every weekday at 9 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the show.
Good morning. I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. Coming up, why boys should read more books by girls. But first, by now, you know what happened over the weekend in Nevada. What you may not know is why and how. How did Bernie Sanders activate so many different groups of voters, and what does that say about the race as it moves to South Carolina and Super Tuesday? We're turning to Precious Hall. She's a political scientist and professor at Truckee Meadows Community College in Nevada, and she joins us today from Reno. Precious, welcome. It's really good to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I know you keep a close eye on Latinx voters in Nevada. They showed up for Sanders. Even when the Culinary Union was raising some serious doubts about his Medicare for All policy, give me an idea about the calculation that these voters made being caught between Sanders' appeal and what the Culinary Union was saying.
Well, I think that the voters sent a message both to Sanders and to the Culinary Union that they will make their own decisions. Even though the Culinary Union represents a large group of individuals, it's our largest union here in the state making up the casino workers, even though they came out and said that they were against the Medicare for All policy, they still did not endorse an official candidate. So I think the results let us know, one, that there were members of the Culinary Union who absolutely did support Bernie Sanders and support his messaging, and two, that the other people in the state, those who know members of the Culinary Union, those who don't, think independently and decided that he was the candidate for them. So the Culinary Union doesn't have as strong of a hold as they would like.
I know.
I believe that Bernie Sanders would be quite pleased to know that going forward.
Yeah, you know, apparently it makes me wonder what would have happened if the Culinary Union had indeed endorsed, and maybe this is why they didn't.
And I think maybe that the Culinary Union found themselves sort of between a rock and a hard place, because had they endorsed an official candidate and that candidate didn't win, then for sure we would know that their strength waned. But also they're probably questioning today, maybe we should have endorsed an official candidate to give some of our members to point them more in a direction. Obviously, they know they can't control who their members vote for, but maybe they're questioning whether or not they should have given their members a bit more direction today.
As you were looking at what the candidates were saying and voters were preparing to caucus, you made a point of saying that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but also doesn't necessarily affect what happens in Reno. These are two pretty different cohorts of voters. Now, did that prove out as you saw turnout and kind of where the votes went to which candidates?
I would say definitely. We have to understand that the south of the state and the north of the state are two different constituencies. Whereas there is a lot of gaming and tourism, and that's a main part of our economy here in the north, you also have other parts of our economy, such as logistics, manufacturing, mining. So you had a lot of people here in the north that really resonated with the message of Bernie Sanders, and quite frankly, what the Culinary Union thought was not a care to them.
Wow.
So they were able to navigate and make up their own mind because our economies are slightly different, our needs are slightly different between the North and the South, and quite frankly, the North does like to distinguish itself from the South as well.
Hmm. You know, I'm curious about what you make about what Harry Reid, the former Senate Majority Leader and favorite son of Nevada, had to say over the weekend about Sanders. Here he is.
You can't have somebody with 32% of the vote think they're going to be the nominee. What about the other 68%? If you're going to be the nominee, play by the rules. Get a majority.
He's clearly in line with some of the establishment Democrats and really worried about what's happening here with Sanders. Should he be?
Well, he has a right to be concerned. And one of the things that I want to point out is the last debate that we had on Wednesday night, the last question asked each of the candidates, should you have a majority of the delegates, but not the critical number, what should happen once we get to the convention? And everyone except Bernie Sanders said, let the process take place, meaning let the superdelegates step in. Bernie Sanders was the only candidate that said, let's go with the will of the people. So we're seeing a divide within the party itself about what exactly what we should do. And that's one of the downsides, shall we say, of having so many candidates in the race, that the vote is split.
Right.
So if you have many candidates and somebody can win with 30% of the vote, mathematically, Harry Reid is absolutely correct. That means that 68% of the people are not going in supporting the candidate. That means that we have a candidate that could really win in the general election. These are all questions and concerns. We'll have to see how this shakes out, particularly as we get to Super Tuesday and beyond.
But we wanted to talk to a political scientist in Nevada after the weekend's caucus, and Precious Hall has joined us. She's a professor at Truckee Meadows Community College in Nevada. She's with us today from Reno. I'm seeing analysis, I'm sure you are too, Precious, that says that Bernie Sanders is in many ways the mirror image of Trump. He gets out there. He talks about how the system is rigged. He's someone who makes some elaborate claims about what he's going to be able to do on health care and free college with Congress. And he may have, you know, if he ends up winning, he might run into a lot of obstacles in Congress. How do you see that comparison between the way Trump campaigned in 2016 and some of the stuff Bernie Sanders is doing?
Well, I would definitely say that comparison is accurate. And in 2016, the conversation and the political landscape looked entirely different than it does today. So we have a question that we have to answer as a nation, particularly those who identify as Democrats. Do we care if there's a candidate who puts forth policy that they may not be able to accomplish over the next 4 years? Or do we care just about getting Donald Trump out of office? That's a question that all Democrats have to ask, because those two might not necessarily be in alignment with each other.
Yeah,
if the only care is to get Donald Trump out of office, then the policy really doesn't matter. The Democrats might say, we'll consider this a wash, and we'll look forward to the next campaign. But if the concern is policy, then that's a different conversation that has to be had.
No, that's a really good point. I've been thinking about this a lot, because what Bernie Sanders is obviously doing is activating the idealism of a lot of young voters, or voters who feel like they are outside the process. And that question that you've just asked really comes up here. So how much does it matter that you shoot for the stars, you're aiming for that, and you fall short, or you've got somebody who practically, as Amy Klobuchar and Joe Biden would say, I might not be able to get that done, but I can get this done, and I'll do it with the values that a Democratic Party president would do it with. We're trying to figure this out. Yeah, go ahead.
To be quite honest, this is something that has not been figured out, and we may not even know until the general election, because you have those who, as the saying goes, you know, shoot for the stars, you'll land amongst the clouds, and they're okay with that, versus those who are more establishment. Let's think about this in a more practical manner. Let's think about what I can bring to the table as far as experience and actually getting things done. Mm. And as we saw in 2016, there's a whole set of voters who really don't care
about
the practicality.
Yeah, exactly.
Of it. So this election is going to say more than just about Democrats versus Republicans. This election is going to tell us where we are as a country. How has our political landscape changed? Has it changed permanently as a result of 2016 and what's happened since then, or is 2016 an anomaly? This election is going to show us what has changed overall in our political landscape.
I see Congressman James Clyburn of South Carolina is going to endorse sometime in the next couple of days before the South Carolina primary on Saturday. How would you say the Vice President Biden is positioned at the moment?
Well, according to him, he has put almost all of his eggs in South Carolina. He's understood that he hasn't had a great showing in Iowa and New Hampshire. He was looking forward to Nevada to show that with a more diverse electorate, he could do well, which he technically did. He came in second place. He came in a dismal second place compared to what Bernie Sanders was able to do, but he did come in second, so we can't forget that. So he's going to use this bit of momentum that he received here in Nevada to really spring forth in South Carolina. So for Joe Biden, his goal is to first come in first place in South Carolina to continue to use that momentum to propel him into Super Tuesday. He's starting to get some more establishment states, more states that appreciate his experience,
right,
and that will do well for him to keep him into the race.
Yeah, Precious, I've got about a minute left here, but I'm curious about what you thought of Harry Reid saying we should do away with caucuses and just go to a primary system. Can he get that done?
Well, I think it can be done because, in general, there's a lot of confusion about how the caucuses work. Two, with the issues with Iowa, and three, now Pete Buttigieg is saying that he believes there were irregularities here in Nevada on Saturday. The confusion crippled with the unclear answers. I think you would have more support to end the caucus system and go straight to a primary, which wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. We know that caucuses typically disenfranchise large groups of voters. So the more that we can engage, the more citizens that we can have participate is just better for us as a democracy.
Precious, really a pleasure to talk with you. I hope we talk again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Precious Hull is a political scientist, and she's a professor at Truckee Meadows Community College, joining us from Reno, Nevada.
You just heard a recording of a live radio show from NPR News. If you'd like to hear more conversations like this, subscribe to our podcast. And thanks for listening.